Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You're listening to the 50,000-watt AM 670 KLTT, the most powerful Christian radio station in America. Rush Limbaugh just announced he's begun podcasting his radio show. So we started that, what, months ago? And we were on the cutting edge, so Rush had to catch up, and now he's there. Congratulations, Rush. You could podcast Bob and Your Live at KGov on the internet at KGOV.com. Now, back in November of 2002, I had a lively debate with John Lofton, whose columns you could read on the internet. He co-hosts a weekly radio show on Radio America. That's the network that airs G. Gordon Liddy and Michael Reagan. And John Lofton has written a column that I actually talked about on this program. I'm Bob Enyart Live, just a couple shows back, and it was a very interesting column about Jay Sekulow, who's a Christian lawyer involved with Pat Robertson's American Center for Law and Justice. And Jay Sekulow was basically defending, advocating, supporting, rallying for Alberto Gonzalez, who's a strong pro-abortion lawyer judge. And so we've got John Lofton on the phone right now. John, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
John, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to excerpt sections of your recent article about Jay Sekulow.
Sure.
And then you and I talk through it and see if we could discuss how do we head toward a solution to a problem where guys who are our guys are defending the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dilemma we have. So Your column is called Jay Sekulow, Is He Trying to Serve Two Masters in a House Divided? And let me start quoting from the column, and then you could chime in and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
John Lofton wrote, "One of the problems plaguing the so-called religious right is that instead of pressing the Bush administration to enact a truly Christian conservative agenda, certain leaders have been too close to the Republican Party and thus have been blocking real change." And so right there, John, I like what you're saying. You're saying we should come out of the closet and let's say what we really mean. We want a Christian agenda.
Well, that's right. And you, I don't mean to jump to the end of our conversation, but you talked about what is the solution to the problem that we're going to be discussing.
Yeah.
And the solution is for Christians to be, to act like Christians. The job of Christians is to, you might want to jot this down, Bob.
Yeah.
Christianize things.
Yeah.
It is to Christianize things.
Yeah.
And the sad fact is that people like Jay Sekulow, and I think, sad to say, he represents what passes for Christian leaders today, is that they're trying to have a foot in both camps. They're too inside the beltway. They're not really asking for the entire loaf. Now, one of the things you hear is that, come on, John, and Bob, politics is the art of the possible. You've got to settle for half a loaf. Well, if we really get half a loaf, then shouldn't we have been asking for a loaf and a half? Then, of course, we got the whole loaf.
We realize that there are people in the world who disagree with us, and so we have to battle for the things that we value and we hold dear, that we
sure
believe are true and right. And you can't always get everything that you try to accomplish, but it's really foolish if you're trying to stop, let's say, the killing of Jews by the Germans. It's really foolish to try to stop half the killing, and as though that were your goal. Your goal is to stop the killing of the innocent, and that is our goal. And we get confused, and we actually act like our goal is to stop a fraction of the killing.
Sure.
And so then we end up defending, advocating, campaigning for people who affirmatively acknowledge a right to kill innocent human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's a confusion, where we blur our political strategy with our fundamental principles. We confuse and twist and blur those. And that's where we get into trouble.
Well, the abortion issue, as you well know, is a unique issue talking about other issues as if they are life and death issues. But there's only one issue in the context in which we're speaking. You could also say war is another one.
Well,
but we're talking about abortion.
Euthanasia, abortion, right.
A life and death issue. And there can be no incremental approach or half a loaf approach to trying to stop the killing or the murder of innocent unborn babies.
And when our Christian leaders and George W. Bush, they try to find terms that seem palatable. And so one of the latest code words is we want judges who have the right judicial philosophy.
Yeah,
and
whatever that means.
Yeah, that's meaningless.
Let me tell you about that. What that means is if Roe v. Wade and Casey and these other pro-abortion decisions, which invented out of whole cloth, out of nothing, this right to abortion.
To kill your child, right?
Yeah. If they are law now, which of course they really aren't law, but that's another show. But if they're the law, then what happens is the conservative comes in. He's a strict constructionist.
And he says you got to uphold Roe v. Wade.
You're ahead of me. He simply strictly construes Roe v. Wade.
So Priscilla Owens signed as a Texas Supreme Court justice. She signed her authority to go ahead and kill baby 10, Jane Doe number 10's baby, because a lower court judge had missed a deadline for a filing of fact. And she said, we have to go by Roe v. Wade, and we have to go by the Texas legislature's laws affirming abortion. So I authorized the killing of baby 10. I read the decision. Priscilla Owen, one of the darlings of the pro-life conservative Christian community.
Well, exactly. And these three judges, Priscilla Owen and Janice Rogers Brown and William Pryor, the ones that Jay Sekulow and his ilk think walk on water, every single one of them in their confirmation hearing, Bob, said they would enforce Roe v. Wade. And I'll tell you something I bet even you didn't know, and you're a very well-informed person. In April, Senator Arlen Specter said a memo to his colleagues saying, in effect, hey, look, I know some of you are worried about Priscilla Owen being against Roe v. Wade. And then he listed her Roe v. Wade support, and that's where I got her quote in her confirmation hearing saying, I have enforced it in the past, and I will enforce it in the future.
Well,
and Brown and Pryor all said the same thing.
I appreciate you pointing that out. And what I did was I went to the Texas Supreme Court website and read where she said we have to uphold Roe v. Wade. And so if our judges, the people we consider the good guys on our side, if they brought the same judicial philosophy to Germany, if they went to law school there and grew up, they might have said, well, you know, I don't think it's good to kill so many Jews, but I'm going to sign my name to this Jew's death warrant because it's consistent with precedent and the law.
Well, that's right. They would have said, as Gonzalez and Ashcroft, how about even Ashcroft in his confirmation hearing a few years ago, said that Roe was settled law. How about that? 1973. It's now settled law that he would enforce it. Gonzalez said he would enforce it. Look, in cards, there's something called, and card sharks know about this, it's called the false shuffle. Mm. The name tells you what it is.
Yeah.
And that's what people like Sekulow and others want us to believe, that there's some major shuffling of the deck, that there's going to be some big change by bringing in these Bush judges.
And
but
here's what the big change
the
is.
Deadly laws, there's no change.
John Lofton, here's what the big change is. The big change is our Christian leaders have given the latitude to our judges and officials to go ahead and affirm the killing of unborn children as part of their career path. And so we have taught them to compromise on thou shalt not murder. And then we think, absurdly, we think that while our Christian leaders have a strategy of compromise on do not murder, we think someday our political leaders are going to stop compromising because they're going to take the lead from us? Come on, that's absurd. As long as our national Christian organizations are willing to have political strategies that compromise on do not murder, and when they look the other way, when their guys and their gals say, I will uphold the killing of unborn children, there is no way we're going to turn this travesty around unless our Christian leaders have the courage to stand on the principle of God's word.
Well, let me tell you, amen. Let me tell you the problem in a nutshell, and again, I'm sure it's something you already know. More than once, I and you have referred to these people like Jay Sekulow as Christian leaders. Well, no, they're not. They are not leading as Christians. They are cheerleading as Republicans Party Well, there's some words.
Well, now, wait
a second. Prostitutes. How about that? Can we say prostitute?
Well, that's harsh. But, John, wait a minute.
Well, no, it's true. The Christian litmus test for judges should be that they are judges who first
fear
acknowledge
God
and will enforce God's law.
Here's
that's
what
the first and only most important litmus test. But no Christian leader, so-called, would say that
they're
ashamed. Would have such a litmus test.
No,
God
it seems
is irrelevant to their litmus test. They talk about values and strict constructionism and all this other stuff. But the most important thing is, does a judge not only know God's law, acknowledge it, but will he obey it? Which means that will he not recognize laws that are not of God's law because they're no law?
So here we have our Christian leaders saying what we need are strict constructionist and judicial philosophy. What they should be saying is we want judges. It's the biblical test for a judge being qualified. We want judges who fear God. We want judges who will protect innocent life against abortion and euthanasia. And
absolutely.
So those are the kinds of things our Christian leaders should say, but they've given the latitude to George W. Bush not only to appoint scores of pro-abortion judges and officials, but to be proud. He is proud of the pro-abortion judges that he stacked the Texas Supreme Court with and that he's brought to Washington, including Alberto Gonzalez. He's proud of these people, and it's our Christian leaders who are misinforming him and giving him a false sense of security that this is okay.
Well, you know, you mentioned Nazi Germany a minute ago. I'm almost through reading a book called Hitler's Courts. It's translated from the German. It's written by Ingo Müller, M-U-L-L-E-R. To make a long story short, he studied in detail the courts and the judges and the judiciary under Nazi Germany. He found one judge. Hold up one finger, Bob. He found one judge named Lothar Kreisig, a middle-level judge, a Lutheran, the only one who refused, by a variety of very clever means, to enact Hitler's justice. One judge. All the other ones went along because I guess they were strict constructionists and it was, quote, the law. That's depressing.
Mm-hmm.
One judge.
How do you spell that guy's first name?
Ingo, I-N-G-O, last name M-U-L-L-E-R.
No,
Hitler's Courts.
Yeah, that's the author. I mean the judge. Lothar.
I think it's L-O-T-H-A-R. Lothar. K-H-R-Y-S-I-G. That should probably get it.
Yeah,
I was thinking about founding a society where we could meet every month to praise, you know, famous and gutly and gutsy men. But the whole question of what is the role of a judge? What is the role of a judge? What is it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not talked about. The Christians, they can't argue as Christians. I don't get it, quite frankly.
Right. Now,
I mean,
okay,
sometimes I get it, but sometimes I don't.
So you quote here, you quote Jay Sekulow, who was aggressively campaigning to confirm Alberto Gonzalez to be attorney general after George W. Bush nominated him to be the head of the Justice Department, which is a crucial role in all of morality in America. That's upholding the law and including on abortion and things like homosexual marriage and whatever. Just homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Jay Sekulow is advocating that we can quickly confirm Alberto Gonzalez. And then you have a quote from Alberto Gonzalez in his confirmation hearing. Do you have that in front of you or should I read?
Sure, sure. And the amazing thing is that before the confirmation hearing of Alberto Gonzalez, Sekulow's organization put out a press release in which Sekulow called for the confirmation without delay, were Sekulow's words,
right,
because he said Gonzalez would be an exceptional attorney general, which indeed in some ways he may be, not good, but and that he would, this is a quote according to Sekulow, Gonzalez would work to protect all Americans, both at home and abroad.
Yeah, not unborn children, over a million a year being slaughtered.
All Americans, right.
Yeah,
well,
right. Minus a million
a
year.
Let me read that paragraph in his confirmation hearing, when, which of course occurred after Sekulow had already endorsed him. He was asked about the Roe v. Wade decision in his confirmation hearing, and this is what Gonzalez said. Of course, the Supreme Court has recognized a right of privacy in our Constitution. Notice already it's like, of course, you idiot. Like, of course, it's, you know, why are you asking me this?
Right.
Of course.
It's
of course,
that
the Supreme Court has recognized a right of privacy in our Constitution, which they didn't. They simply invented it. And in Roe, the court held that that right of privacy includes a woman's right to choose to have an abortion. This is still Gonzalez talking. A little over a decade ago, the court in Casey, that was another pro-abortion decision, had an opportunity to revisit that issue, and that they declined to overturn Roe, and of course, again, there's the, of course, made a new standard. How about that? The court made a new standard that any restriction that constituted an undue burden on a woman's right to choose could not be sustained. Final two sentences or three sentences. My judgment, said Gonzalez, is that the court has had an opportunity, ample opportunities, to look at this issue. It has declined to do so. As far as I'm concerned, it is the law of the land, and I will enforce it. Well, unquote. Now, well, okay, maybe the courts did all that, but excuse me, sir, you're the attorney general. You have a solicitor general. What about you going in there and trying to overturn it?
Yeah, exactly, saying I will not enforce any law that says you can kill a Jew, you can kill a child, you could own a black man as property, you can rape a woman. I will not, because I have an obligation before God. I have a conscience that God gave me, and this is wrong. And you know what we need? We need about 100 judges to take stands like that. Now, they'll probably be fired, disbarred. We need about 100 governing officials and judges to begin to take a stand to say, I will not affirm the right to kill an unborn children because of some process reason. We need 100 of those. But instead, by our Christian pro-life political strategy, we have 1,000 officials who are signing their name on death warrants to kill babies with the permission and the applause of our Christian pro-life national leaders. And
well,
I know you could quibble about leaders, but yeah, I get the point.
Yeah. And that includes President Bush. President Bush,
he's proud of the pro-abortion people he puts in office.
Well, yes. Well, even more ignorantly, he says he has no litmus test, as if having a litmus test for a judge was some kind of crime. I mean, what does that mean? I have no litmus test.
Yeah,
you mean
yeah,
there's something
that was
wrong with asking a judicial nominee? Oh, by the way, do you favor? Where are you on this murdering unborn babies business?
Right, right.
Is
exactly.
there something wrong with that?
Right. In fact,
yeah,
that was
like it's a crime to
that,
ask.
That was George W. Bush's very first campaign promise, that he has no litmus test, that he ignores abortion when it comes to nominating judges, and you know he throws us somebody once in a while. A judge who kills some babies. You know what these judges do, like Priscilla Owen? They hold their nose, then they sign a death warrant to kill, say, baby 10, and then they wash their hands real quickly.
Yeah, or they say it's okay to kill an unborn baby, but you have to have a note from your parents. Your parents have to know about it.
Right. Well, Priscilla Owen, yeah, of course it is. But Priscilla Owen signed that you don't even have to have your parents' knowledge that you're having an abortion. I will, as a judge, give you Jane Doe number 10 in Texas. I'll give you my authority to go ahead and kill your baby without your parents even knowing that you're having an operation as a minor. That is a radical pro-abortion decision.
No doubt about it. And, of course, both of us remember vividly the presidential debates when Bush twice was invited to comment on Roe v. Wade, and he stood there like a statue staring into space. He couldn't even criticize it.
Right.
The guy can't call for it to be overturned. He can't criticize it as an insane example of judicial activism. He just stared into space while, at the other podium, to his credit, if that's the word, Kerry immediately jumped in and of course, said he had a litmus test. He would defend it. He defended his evil faith. Bush just stood there like an automaton.
Yeah, and he says things like America is not ready to stop abortion.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I remember that too when he was asked about a constitutional amendment, if he favored it or something similar to that, to stop abortion. Of course, the question was about whether he was ready. They didn't ask him about taking a poll, and that's exactly what he said. Well, I don't think the American people are ready for that. Well, how about leading them, sir?
Yeah, well, it's his political career that's not ready, and that's what we need. We need leaders who at least have the courage to say don't murder. But
well, how about that?
Where do the conservative Christian Republican leaders, where do they get the latitude from to go ahead and make these despicable pronouncements about the killing of unborn children? They get it from our national Christian leaders.
That's right.
And
again,
John, I understand your point about how could you be a leader when you're saying these things, but I think we have to hold their feet to the fire, and we have to rise up and say there are some Christians in America who remember that God did not write his law in sand, and there is no process for modifying do not murder and do not steal.
Amen.
And we want to craft a political strategy that never compromises on thou shall not murder.
Well, let me say two things. I absolutely agree about holding the obviously cold feet of these so-called Christian leaders to the fire, which means reminding them of their own previous statements when Democrats were in power,
right,
and rebuking them constantly in every way that we can. But although I'm all for that, I am not for that in any hopes that they're going to change their view.
Of fixing the problem. Well, that very well may be.
Let me finish the second part.
Yeah,
the second part is, while we rebuke, in other words, we have to walk and chew gum at the same time. We have to unceasingly rebuke these people, while at the same time, there are rising up, I believe, other real Christian leaders who have the totally pro-life, the real Christian position on not only abortion, but a variety of other issues. And they're taking these positions, saying that they're taking explicitly Christian positions. That's what's happening, I hope.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And so, yeah, just like in the Bible, just like when the prophets had to rebuke the kings, rebuke the priests, the Pharisees, and Jesus said that, hey, it's the little flock that I'm going to give the kingdom to, the little flock. In other words, sometimes the guys who are at the head of the food chain, they eventually lose out because they've lost the foundation. They've lost their way.
Oh, my goodness. Take a look at Dr. Jim Dobson, James Dobson, head of Focus on the Family.
Yeah.
I mean, he has been in a perpetual rage since...
On the judicial filibuster.
On everything. Since the election took place, I mean, he's been, whether it was the Spectre thing or whatever it was, he's been, you know, just... in a constant rage, and I keep thinking, well, you voted for this guy, sir. You voted for George Bush. And you've got nothing in return.
Well,
nothing.
James Dobson is a clinical degreed psychologist, and let's just for a moment think through why is he so upset. And he's used the word rage. He's said some of his anger he can't get over. You know, he goes home, he's so depressed. And it's because I think it's the reality. I don't believe it's hit home yet, but we're in the denial stage where everything we've done for 25 years has been a colossal failure.
Sure.
And we have packed the federal judiciary, which is now 58% Republican judges. We've packed it with hundreds of pro-choice Republican judges.
Well,
that's what we've done.
Dobson is in a strange category, which I haven't fully figured out yet. He is politically active, which over the years has caused some of his board to resign on him. People like William Hybels did resign.
And we do have to be politically active.
Well, of course.
Right.
And also, Dobson has repeatedly and properly rebuked Cal Thomas, this guy who thinks Christians can't simultaneously preach the gospel while, engaging in other activities.
What, the columnist Cal Thomas?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he gave up. After Clinton won re-election, I remember he and a bunch of other, you know, Christian leaders, I guess, they sort of made this national sigh, and they said there's really nothing we can do about the government. We just have to be nice people.
Well, he keeps constantly pointing out, again, as if we can't walk and chew gum, that, get off of this politics thing. We're not going to save the nation through politics. Just go out
right.
And preach the gospel and live the gospel, which, of course, we should preach it and live it.
Yeah.
But we can also apply it to the state and to the government.
Scripture,
not either or.
Scripture says that when the righteous govern, the people rejoice.
Thank you.
When the wicked rule, the people groan. And I don't want my plumber to be evil. And I don't want my mechanic to be evil. And I don't want the judge or the leader of the nation to be or do evil. And so as a Christian, I don't love our governing officials, so I'm not going to warn them? Of course I'm going to warn them.
Sure. Sure. Well, Jesus Christ is also the Lord of politics. In fact, you could argue,
he's the King of Kings.
Because there was one more puzzling aspect of him that I honestly don't understand. I'm not saying it rhetorically. I believe, what year was it that he voted for Howard Phillips for president. He said publicly he was voting for Howard Phillips.
And here's James Dobson.
And then he turns around and votes for George Bush. I don't get it.
We did this. We took out a large ad in the Colorado Springs Gazette, an open letter to James Dobson. It cost us, I forget how much was that, $2,400?
Wow.
I forget now. Anyway, this is just a few weeks ago, and we laid out the evidence that a quarter century of pro-life Christian political strategy has utterly failed. We gave the examples of Judge William Pryor on the 11th Circuit voting to kill Terri Schiavo. We gave the example of the current Supreme Court, which is Republican, upholding abortion, deciding for the pornographers, even deciding for the child pornographer against families and law enforcement.
Oh, my gosh.
And the judge who ruled that under God is against the Constitution and the pledge, he was appointed by a Republican president. We laid out this evidence that overwhelmingly these most horrendous decisions come from judges who were nominated by Republican presidents. And not only that, the vast majority of our pro-life Republican presidential nominees are pro-abortion judges. So that Reagan, Bush, and George W. Bush, they nominated 6 of the 12 on the 11th Circuit that voted twice. The whole circuit voted twice on Terri Schiavo. And William Pryor voted to uphold Republican Judge George Greer's judicial decree to kill Terri Schiavo. And these are our guys. These are our heroes. And they're voting.
By the way, can I tell people?
Yeah.
May I tell people, please, how to get hold of me?
Yeah, because we're almost out of time. And your website, GodFamilyRepublic.com?
Or my email, my personal email. I live dangerously, Bob.
Yeah.
It's JLOF, as in Frank, JLOF at AOL.com. Let me say one final thing here about
that's
William
the beginning
Pryor.
I'm
glad you mentioned the guy, because he was another guy that in the same confirmation hearing, he said Roe v. Wade was an abomination. He said it had led to the, and these are his words, slaughter of millions. Then later in the confirmation hearing, he says, of course, I did enforce it as Attorney General of Alabama, and I will enforce it now. So there's the guy saying, I will enforce a law that slaughtered millions. Also, one other thing
wait, real quick, John. What's
very important. He did nothing to help Roy Moore. He persecuted Roy Moore. I was in the courtroom when it happened. It was a disgrace.
So that William Pryor, one of our heroes,
he was in a J. Seculo mailing I got. Big picture of Pryor,
yeah,
one of the
right.
judges. The bench.
What did he do or not do as the Ten Commandments and Justice Roy Moore were being kicked out of the Alabama court?
Well, when Moore went to his, I forget what it was, a judicial group down there that basically it was a trial, a kangaroo court, and the main prosecutor who cross-examined Roy Moore was William Pryor.
Here's what we said on the air about that James Dobson had horses on both sides of the race. He was furious about what happened to Judge Roy Moore, and he gave William Pryor a pass for being part of the persecution. Now, real quick, 10 seconds left. Who's worse, the judge who likes abortion or the judge who says abortion is murder and I enforce it?
Two godless peas in a pod.
Well, I think the second one is worse. Him who knows right and does not do it is even worse. But John Lofton, I thank you for a great call.
Thank you, Bob.
God bless you. I really appreciate that. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Call them at 303-431-5653. Visit Denver Bible Church on the web or in person. And check out our website, KGOV.com.